turn to page 97 in the prayer book. We'll do the short mandala offering. Everyone sing loudly, please. Saji po ki yukshin me ta tram ri rab lin ji ni te gyan pa di sangge jin du me
Good evening and welcome back to 10th class. I think we are yogic direct perceiver. We finish, I think.
I have written down direct valid cognizer.
We finish? Did we finish the definition of direct yogic perceiver? Definitions. I remember now. I did talk about direct yogi perceiver, right? Last Friday. Rangi Dhanji Dhajibhe Shila Sunji Tengi Dhajibhe, I remember talking about Kama Bhayati and special insights here. please, can you read the definition of the Dhajibhe Yogi Prasibha, please? Rangi Dhajibhe Dhajibhe.
The definition of a direct Valak cognizer is a new and controvertible knower that is free of conceptuality.
Direct yogic perceiver.
Oh, we're back at direct yogic perceiver.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, we are back there.
I'm sorry. I thought we were starting with the... So, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the definition of a... Is that too loud? Okay. The definition of a yogic direct perceiver is that which is generated in dependence upon... not correct. That which has generated independence on its own uncommon empowering condition, a meditative stabilization that is a union of calm abiding and special insight, and is an other knowing, exalted knower in the continuum of a superior that is free from conceptuality and non-mistaken.
So this like the definition of direct yogic perceiver, right?
Yes.
Tell me then, now the divisions.
There are two valid cognizers that are yogic direct perceivers and subsequent cognizers that are yogic direct perceivers.
Are we reading the same things?
I don't know.
First here, it's number four? It's number four, right? Number four?
Yeah.
So this is going to, that is the devil, you're going to run it down, you're going to the time, is there like talking about the subtle impermanent? Definitely the subtle impermanent establishedness?
Okay.
That's in the next section.
That's number four of the next section.
Oh, next section. I jump.
Jump.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. No jump. Okay, so they're here, like, what is it?
Does it have B? Does it have B on your
screen?
I don't know.
It's
after the quote from Tejrup Rinpoche's Clearing Away Darkness.
So now the definition of direct valid, right?
Direct valid cognizers.
Oh. Then division, there's like
four,
right?
Yes.
Self-knower, then another self-knower, then
sense direct valid cognizer, mental direct valid cognizer, and yogic direct valid cognizer.
So then, I think we all finished this. I think we finished that. Remember?
We were at the beginning of this.
So now the first, the definition of first one, self-knowing
direct valid cognizer is a new incontrovertible knower, free from conceptuality, that is directed only inward and is just an apprehender.
Inward, outward. Outward means corresponding with the external object. Inward refers to the subject, as a perceiver, the
object possessor?
Yeah, inward refers to object possessor, outward refers to object. So inward means that within the definition, there's inward, the inward refers to object possessor, outward refers to the object. Okay, well. When you say object and subject, so that means object possessor are not object. When you say object and subject, generally speaking, object possessor, they are object because everything that exists, they are object because everything that exists is object. But when you talk about object and subject, so then object possessor is not object, it's subject. Make sense? When you talk about object and subject, then the subject is object possessor, it's not object, that's inward. So this direct has a direct valid self, how do you call it, self?
It's a self-knowing direct valid cognizer.
Yeah, self-knowing direct valid cognizer, is corresponding with inward, that means object corresponding directly with the object possessor, not the object. That's why I call inward, okay? Then please continue with the definitions.
The definition of the second, a sense-direct valid cognizer, is a new incontrovertible knower, free from conceptuality, that arises in dependence upon a physical sense power that is its uncommon empowering condition.
That cover all the five senses. Five senses, okay, covers all five senses. So you see. So I just say that five senses, all this, the divisions. Divisions? Don't know something like this. Divisions. When I say divisions.
Do you want me to read the divisions?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So when sense direct valid cognizers are divided, there are five.
Yeah. Refers to five senses. Right?
Yes.
So then, second now. The definitions.
Okay, the third definition of mental direct valid cognizer is a new incontrovertible knower free from conceptuality that arises in dependence upon a mental sense power that is its uncommon empowering condition. And when they're divided, there are six.
So that now that makes sense. The six divisions. Six. Then you understand that six.
Yeah, it says apprehending forms and so forth.
So then every like sound, smell, form, no?
Yep.
Six, yeah. Then can you say the six? What are those six?
Form, sound, odors.
Form, sound, odors.
Tactile, other.
Tactile, no?
Taste. And the phenomena. And other phenomena such as permanence, those things. I don't. That's what my notes say. Those are just my notes.
Not from where?
From I think the previous time we took this class from you.
So
is it internal?
It's called like chichinjibusu.
What about taste?
No, it's all there. Like
I said,
yeah. Then it already said there's five: sound, odor, taste, tactile, smell.
Form.
Yeah, form. So the last one is called Chichinjibusu, sometimes I have to say Chichinjibusu. Because something like idea, you know, more like mental image or something like that, but it's not really form, right? Mental image is not really form. You can't really touch, it's like mental image, mental picture.
Is it like the generic image, those The meaning generalities, is
yeah,
that it?
Yeah, general image, yeah, something like that. Chujinjibsu. It has particular names called Chujinjibsu, means like, I'm not sure how to say it.
No, I have internal phenomena. I don't think that...
Internal phenomena?
That's what my notes say.
But no, like the detailed explanation, this is Abhidhamma Kosha. I think chapter number one or chapter number, I think chapter number one. No, that's like this information. So anyway, so just like Suzu Yiji was some of the true years. Now the second, after that.
The definition of the fourth, a yogic direct valid cognizer.
Okay, well, this one, yeah.
An other knowing, exalted knower in the continuum of a superior, that independence upon a meditative stabilization that is a union of calm abiding and special insight and is its uncommon empowering condition, newly and directly realizes either subtle impermanence or the coarse or subtle selflessness of persons.
Mm-hmm. So here, I think I did explain this a little bit. Did anybody recall last Friday? I talk about, you know, here Vipassana comes after Samadhi. You remember? Anybody you remember?
Yes.
We did talk about that, I think, last Friday.
Yes,
a different section.
Yeah, it was under the, when we were talking about yoga direct perceivers.
Oh. So, here, like, now the subtle impermanent, there's something, the subtle impermanent, what is subtle impermanent? Subtle impermanent is like momentary change, you know. That's not very obvious to us, momentary change, even though this one is, you know, it's not, it looks like same, but it's not same. It's like changing, constantly changing momentary. That's called subtle impermanent. The gross impermanent, you know, people get old, people die, you know, house get old, like I said, wear and tear.
Wear and tear,
like that, you know, wear and tear, according to house, wear and tear, according to people. So this is like something that's obvious, you know, that's called gross impermanent. But subtle impermanent, you know, does require mindfulness in order to actualize, in order to understand subtle impermanent, you know, so that requires, this requires like a strong, like, you know, like concentrations, okay? Kazagadametara, gross selflessness, subtle selflessness, oh. Kazagadametara. Madhyamika pasankika system, there's no gross selfness or subtle selfness. Every selfness is subtle selfness. There's no gross and subtle. Why? Because the object is same. Object that needs to be negated is same. Object that needs to be negated is same. And here, in the lower system, you know, there's different object. So then it has to be as a part of the other being's mindset. You know, superior refers to other being. Other being. Other being means those who sees, you know, according to Pasangika system, those who sees emptiness directly. So in this case, you know, those who sees the gross or selflessness or subtle selflessness or maybe subtle impermanent, seeing them directly, then you become higher being. Superior.
Yes, well, do the are these the only objects of this? Is it just subtle impermanence or selflessness? Direct valid yogic perceiver,
these are the objects. Subtle impermanent, gross and subtle selflessness, these are the objects. Your question, this is the only object? Yeah, these are the only objects. Either subtle impermanent or gross selflessness or subtle selflessness. But when it comes as far as the person is a concern, person sees subtle selflessness directly, or gross selflessness directly, or subtle impermanence directly. Far as the awareness is concerned, but awareness, there's different, you know, one awareness, they see subtle impermanence, not necessarily sees gross as a selflessness or subtle selflessness. When it comes down to awareness, there are differences. You see, like, see, Kandola sees, Kandola hear, you know, Kandola smells. So what, you know? I don't mean the Kandola herself smell. How you say?
But there's no other way to say it.
How you say?
Kandola smells.
Yeah, Kandola, yeah, Kandola see, Kandola, yeah, Kandola smells. Kandola smiles all the time, no smell, smiles, no. There's the beautiful things. So, far as the Kandola is concerned, the Kandola sees everything. But, you know, far as Kandola's eye consciousness is concerned, eye consciousness don't hear. You know? Person hears, see everything, but eye consciousness don't see. Eye consciousness don't hear. It only sees. Similar here, far as superior being, eye being is concerned, they see subtle selflessness, they see gross self, the gross selflessness, subtle selflessness, subtle impermanence, but when it comes down to awareness, they are different awareness. Therefore, this is all subtle selflessness, subtle impermanence, or subtle selflessness, or gross, all gross selflessness. That's why there's all. How does it? Now the divisions.
When divided, there are three valid cognizers directly realizing subtle impermanence, valid cognizers directly realizing the core selflessness of persons, and valid cognizers directly realizing the subtle selflessness of persons.
So this is the division now, this is like already in the definitions. But first, you know, you see, first you think of what is impermanent, then you think, and again think, you know, you think, then you are like awareness that corresponds with impermanence, get better and better, means get deeper and deeper. And you know, like, thought is just like awareness, which is aware of change, you know. That you are aware of change, and a lot of people are not aware of change, you know. A lot of people who don't like to change, don't like to see change. But, you know, aware of being aware of change, and there are awareness, you know. That's how we aware, how we become aware of something. There's awareness. So that awareness, then, you know, like, then, at the beginning, when it comes down on how is it? Gunju, Kushinu Gunju. Tuang Gunju is like a very obvious object, you know, such as, you know, this, all of that, you know. Doesn't require reason, you just see them, you know. And there's hidden phenomena. And there's very hidden phenomena. There's three objects. Hidden phenomena that, generally speaking, that you do need to rely on reason. No, you figure out that object through reason, no? Like, So, then certain objects, they are very hidden, like say, results of, you know, practicing generosity is wealth. Practicing, the result of practicing patience then become attractive. Doing things, you know, like doing things happily, you know, not just do them, you know, doing with joy, you know, doing with joy. especially doing positive things with joy, you know, like, not like, I'm not saying doing like everything, but, you know, doing positive things with joy. So the result is like calm mind, you know, you have calm mind. There's a result of doing positive things with joy. The result is the calm mind. Some days she says, so then, you know, like, result of concentrations. Concentration is like peaceful mind. Then result of wisdom is liberations. So those are very hidden phenomena. Even just rely on reason, you may not understand them very well, you know, then you are basically dependent on spiritual authority.
Yep.
Scriptures. You know? So then, the person who taught the scriptures, you know, having a faith in that person, and seeing that person is something valid rather than invalid, you know, trustworthy rather than as a not trustworthy.
Yes.
Kebutsema, valid being, valid persons, valid speech. Every word been spoken means what it says, what it means. Not just, you know, say something means something different, it's not like the kebutsema, ngatsema, if you look at the homage of the the Paramana Vatika Karika, that text composed by Dharmakirti. So you remember last there's some of the quote Dharmakirti, one who wrote the commentary on Dignaga text, that's the root text of Buddhism, the epistemologies, the root text. The Dharmakirti wrote commentary, and then I think the both, maybe it's like I think that's like the text that wrote by Dignaga, you know, Dharmakirti's master, his teacher, Dignaga, one who wrote the text. If you look at the homage of the text, I'm not sure whether it's translated in English or not, called Tsemando, like Dignaga's, the text on how is the mind and awareness, all of that.
Continuum of valid cognition, is that the?
Tsemando, that's the one. Yeah, continuum of?
Compendium of valid cognition.
Yeah, Tsemando. That's the text. If you look at the homage of the text, and you see the very beginning of the text, Tsema Chuban Drola Peshava, like the refers to the Shakyamuni Buddha, you know, something is trustworthy, as a person is trustworthy, the speech is trustworthy. So then the very hidden phenomena, how to figure that out, hidden phenomena, heavily rely on scriptures. So not whole scripture, but no part of the scriptures that says Jimbel Longje says, oh, being generous, you become generous, more wealth. That scripture is, how is it, valid. There's no three ways to analyze the whether the scripture is trustworthy or not. There's three ways to analyze. Okay? There's three different ways to analyze whether the scripture is trustworthy or not. There's three ways to analyze. Maybe it may ring some bells. How to analyze the, whether a scripture is trustworthy or not, how to analyze, there's three different ways to analyze. First, you say, oh, if there's any mistake, the text talks about obvious object. If there's any contradiction, if there's any mistakes, the which very scripture that talks about obvious object. That's our the three object, obvious. And then I say obvious, I'm not sure how they translate in English.
Sometimes manifest or...
Yeah, manifest object, hidden object, very hidden object. So that's called Tuangunju, Goju, Shindu Goju, that's the three objects. Huh? Manifest object, you know, then hidden, very hidden objects. So you read the scriptures, then make sure that the scripture has that when it explains the obvious object, there's no any mistakes. So that scripture is now free from that mistake, free from that mistake. So now the second one, hidden phenomena, when the scripture talks about subtle permanent, impermanent, subtle selflessness, the gross selflessness, all of that, is there any mistake there? Is there any contradiction, any mistake? If there's no any mistake, no any contradictions, does it contradict with other books? You know, does it contradict with what Buddha said? Does it contradict with what Dharmakirti said? If you see, oh, there's no contradiction, that book, that scripture is free from that mistake. So now, to look at the scriptures that talks about very hidden phenomena, if there are any mistake, no? Say mistake is, oh, like, oh, first word, second word, there's mistake, it's kind of contradict, you know, or saying something, there's no, like, prayer will. Now, the second thing he said, that's prayer will. That's contradictions. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, like the mom, washam, mom is mother. That word indicates something that's capable to produce child, right? Mosham means no ability to produce child. There's no ability to produce child, you know. There's a word, mosham means, you know, that can have child.
Barren.
Huh?
Barren.
Yeah, ma, mosham. So having those two words together, that's like contradiction. You want to say, first you say ma, this ma mosham. If there's two words together, ma is, you know, showing that's, you know, capable to produce child. The very second word is, the meaning is totally different. So then these two words is contradictions. Mm-hmm. Something like that. No. Then saying, you know, few words, certain words, saying 3-4 times, no extra reason, no. Say yes, no. That doesn't have first yes, second yes. There's no extra meaning, just extra word. Make sense? So that clearly shows that author is not very skillful writers, you know, just saying few words, same word again, doesn't have extra meaning. But in the Kart Sutra, they say yes, like that. 2-3 yes, but each has different meanings. It's not just yes, there's different meanings. So then when you analyze like that, then the scripture is free from mistake, no explanation of the mistake. Mistake, I say, there's contradictions, you know, like the contradiction between the first and second word right next to each other. So there's contradiction. Indirectly, there's no contradicts the meanings. So that's how you prove that scripture is now free from those three mistakes. Therefore, the scripture is reliable. Say reliable. No? So, not sure why we are talking about that. All right. So anyway, so that, you know, you are aware of change, but, you know, you are not just thinking about change, you know, like growth change, you are thinking about momentary change. No, so then you are being more aware of the subtle change. So in the first, in the beginning, the beginning that we have the awareness that understands the impermanent as like conceptual thought. And that very conceptual thought, more you think, that very conceptual thought become direct, valid, has direct valid cognizer. So then that is direct valid yogic, yogic direct valid perceiver, that becomes, when it becomes direct perceiver, then there's that one is, has a direct yogic valid like cognizer. And that's why we talk about these three objects. Okay, so now like that, very hidden phenomena, you have to, the reason is scriptures. That say, simple reason is like, oh, if you practice patience, you become attractive. How you know? That's what the scriptures said. Scriptures. The reason is, they said in the scriptures. So that scripture has to be free from those three mistakes. And who taught the scriptures? That person has to be valid, trustworthy. So therefore, in the very beginning of that text that Tendula said in English, like continuum.
Compendium of Valid Cognition.
The text taught by Dignaga, Indian master. Oh? So when you look at Omish, so then you see Kevutama. It's called Kevutama. So now we'll move the second one. Musum Tarnang.
The facsimile of a direct perceiver?
Huh?
Facsimiles of direct perceivers?
Facsimile.
So the definition of a facsimile of a direct perceiver is a knower that is mistaken with regard to its appearing object.
It looks like Kandrala, but it's not Kandrala. It's a mistake. It looks like direct perceiver, but it's not direct perceiver. It's like fake. It's the fake one, or flexibly?
Facsimile,
nice word. It's facsimile. So now the division, there are seven divisions. Tobang was on a truck. Six associated with the conceptual thought, right? Tobang was the chick. Then can you say it in English, please?
Six conceptual facsimiles of a direct perceiver and one non-conceptual facsimile of a direct perceiver.
Fast six.
The mistaken conceptions, conventional conceptions, inferential conceptions, conceptions arisen from inference, memory conceptions, and wishing conceptions.
So these are all helpful to know. These are all helpful because we have, I think most of them we have. So, so first what do you call the first one?
Of mistaken conceptions.
This illustration.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
illustration of the first one.
Is a thought apprehending sound as permanent?
So here, what do you think? Sound is permanent or impermanent? Before you study this text, you believe the sound is impermanent? Before you study this text?
Middle and end. It has beginning, middle, and end.
Sound.
I could still hear, Geshe-la.
Huh?
If it wasn't impermanent, I'd still be able to hear.
There are, as I said, according to the text, it's called non-Buddhist, like, view, suggestion also. There's many, many of them. Some of them believe the sound is permanent. Oh? And Jesus, when you talk about the continuum of sounds, there's two types of continuum. One is the continuum of similar. The second one is the sound. No, so then another one is like continuum of substance that doesn't have to be sound, it can be something else. Huh? So there's a lot of debate, I'm not sure, I'm not going to bring it up. So continuum, not a religion, maybe sound has substance, continuum, but not maybe the first one, religion. Huh? Like, does it break, or is like one, like when you say hello, it's like continue or it breaks? Sound.
Space in between.
Yeah?
Space in between the waves, then.
There's a space, empty space between the...
Okay.
So now, you know, they break. So maybe John, you know, they break in the... When they... John did a lot of the teachings, transformed into CD. So maybe John...
Sound wave.
Is there break? Between sound, is there break or just continue?
Well, between words there's definitely a break, but are you talking about like a single, what appears as like a single syllable? Well, in the software, it doesn't visually break, but I think scientifically it does.
Like when you say hello, there's like one sound?
At least in the software. The software is not fine-tuned enough to really show the breaks.
Mm.
But
it's scientific, there's breaks.
From what I remember in physics, I think there are breaks, there are gaps between the oscillations.
We call gene, there's the continuum. Continuum is gene. What's called continuum? Continuum, there's called gene. So there's two types of continuum. One that continuums like, say,
is there a substantial continuum?
Yeah, substantial continuum, then there's another one. So I don't blame Tendula, because all the studies that Tendula did in 5 years, if you don't use, you'll forget, because I studied all of them in monastery. You know, if you don't use, it is a couple of years gone. You don't stay there long. But you know exactly where to find. That's a good thing. You still know where to find exactly. But, you know, so one is like substance.
Substantial continuum.
Substantial continuum. So one is like something religion.
Yes.
Maybe that's God. Maybe here.
Would an echo be something like a continuum of sound?
Yeah.
Would an echo be something like a continuum of sound where the sound travels and bounces back? Or?
So I'm asking you. I'm asking you.
So you were saying in physics there's apparently is a break between moments of sound.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it was so long ago I can't remember for sure, but when they represent a sound wave, it sort of crosses above and below the zero point.
Right.
So I think there are points where it's zero. So. But I'm really just speculating, to be honest.
No. Are the breaks?
We can at least say that there's a gap between the peaks and the sound, and that's really what sort of makes it meaningful, is the distance between the peaks. So. in that sense, it's like a gap.
So when you're high pitch, you go... Well, you did, you
just make words, like right. Several pitches, I mean, several peaks.
Yeah, still,
it's still just like...
It kind of looks like... Unfortunately, it's not in this book, so then... Then I'm finished. I'm hoping it's fine here. Anyway, there's two types of religious. Maybe like tender, I will find. No, so in English. So the illustration of first one is tender. What you call like
a thought apprehending sound is permanent. Of the second.
True to watch it. Because the object does not exist. That's why it's wrong, mistaken. You know? The second one,
an inferential cognizer that realized sound to be permanent. To be impermanent. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
So second one.
The conventional conception is an inferential cognizer that realizes sound to be impermanent.
Oh, that's the correct one, right? That's the correct one. But it's correct, but at the same time it's mistaken. Right? Mistaken does not mean invalid. Correct? Mistaken does not mean invalid. Mistaken at the same time can be valid.
Yes.
So now the second, I'm talking about the second illustration. Why is it mistaken?
Go back to the definition.
every conceptual thought are mistaken. Based on this system, every conceptual thought are mistaken. It's mistaken because not able to distinguish between the meaning generality and the
actual object.
Yeah, meaning generality and actual object. No, not able to distinguish. Is that conceptual thought? No, like is not able to distinguish between mental image and the real image. Therefore, it's mistaken. It doesn't mean it's like invalid. It is valid because object is found in permanent. That's no. Okay. Now maybe then I'll just show something there. So then detail helps. That comes from Dendula. Okay, detail helps. No.
The third and inferential conception is a thought that is a mind apprehending a sign.
Can you say it again?
It's a thought that is a mind apprehending a sign. Sign is sometimes translated as reason.
Please, can you repeat one more time?
Yes. It is a thought that is a mind apprehending a sign.
So I don't now remember. Not enough information here, so to explain. Not skip, temporarily skip tonight, not forever, but until tonight. But then don't remember. Okay. It's kind of complicated one. I do know it's kind of complicated, but don't remember. Then the fourth.
Is a thought that arises after an inferential cognizer.
So that's not that difficult. Figuring out something, heavily relying on reason. No, to figure out something that's like hidden phenomena, not like as a manifest object. It's not like manifest object, that's like hidden object. And you figure out relying on reasons. So then right after that, there are another thought. Maybe remembering what you, how you figured out, what you've been figured out, that thought, that's the same one. Same like, you know, like, that's exactly what it means. Shiva, can you say it again, please?
A thought that arises after an inferential cognizer.
Yeah, so there's something that you figure it out relying on reason, that right after that, you know, could be another, like, recalling or the, any follow-up thought, how I figured it out, you know, or what I figured it out, how I figured it out, just remembering, there's no, like, moments of thought right after that, you know. Then the last,
the fifth one.
Yeah.
A thought that today remembers an object of the past.
I think it was a day between the top of the year. We have many of that, you know, so memories, you know, memory of, you know, like last month, you know, last week, memory of that. Oh, then that's not that difficult. Then number six.
Is a thought that today wishes for an object of the future.
That's wish, you know, for something, could be any kind of wish. Taring it is a moment to wish for future. Then these are the six illustrations of the first one. The second now, second one.
The among the two non-conceptual facsimiles of a direct perceiver. Mm. There are mental consciousnesses and our sense consciousnesses. Mm.
So now the illustrations.
The illustration of the non-conceptual facsimile of a direct perceiver that are mental consciousnesses was explained above.
Yeah, explained above. So recall, rings any bells? So if not, then need to read again. read the materials, then you'll figure it out. It's all the past.
With regard to the second,
all the past.
There are
so
four.
So not allowed to talk about past. We are in the present moment. that's for your homework. If you don't remember, that's homework.
With regard to the second, the non-conceptual facsimiles of a direct perceiver that are sense consciousnesses, there are four.
And this is also helpful to remember. This is also that happens on day-to-day life.
The cause of error existing in the basis.
Yeah, so that's what I tried to tell some, like, I think two classes ago.
The cause of error existing in the abode.
This is the cause of
error existing in the abode.
Error or cause of hallucination.
Yeah.
Cause of hallucination. That's better. Cause of hallucinations is. Can you say?
Exists in the abode, the place. So illustrations will explain it a little better than the words.
Yeah, okay. So, can you all say the four of them?
The cause of error existing in the basis, the cause of error existing in the abode, the cause of error existing in the object, and the cause of error existing in the immediately preceding.
The second one, what is the second one?
It's the cause of error existing in the abode.
In the abode?
Abode. It's a place.
Oh, yeah, place. The abode. I never heard this word. Abode. Yeah. Abode. Place. Yeah, the place. Yeah. So now the illustrations.
The first is, for example, an eye impaired by obscuring disease for a sense consciousness that sees one moon as two is produced in dependence upon the era and the basis.
See, seeing two moons, so when you press your eye, you see two things. Yeah. So then when you press your eye, joy manifests in two. Yeah. So that's like that. So then sometimes there's like some kind of like sicknesses. I think sicknesses
or
jaundice or something. Jaundice, you know, so then you start to see white things in the conch shell. It's like yellow color. But actually conch shell is white, you know, so just speaking. So then, you know, like, yeah, so high fever, eye experience, having typhoid fever.
Typhoid fever.
I got that in the monastery, so you have like high fever. So then you kind of hallucinate, you start to see the water from the wall, running from the wall. Actually, there's no water, but you know, then you kind of crawl, as you...
Crawl.
Mm-hmm. You crawl towards the wall, they're thinking there's water, but actually there's no water. But you do see water. You are hallucinated because of the fever, you know. Mm-hmm. I say, one of my teachers also passed away. His nephew, you know, came from Tibet. So when I was in monastery, so he came to monastery to study from Tibet. So my teacher, one of my teacher's nephew, probably he used to have hair in the monastery, not in the monastery, in the Tibet, you know, kind of long hair. So after he shaved his hair, then suddenly he goes like, makes my teacher really angry. Because he has no hair, but he felt like he has fair hair. When he saw his hair coming down, he goes like this. So sometimes, you know, like, people who don't have hair, so they also there's some kind of problem in the eyes, so they see the hair falling down, mm-hmm. but actually there's no hair, so. There's another example, you know, the same. Tell me, second illustrations.
The second is, for example, sitting in a boat for a sense consciousness that sees trees as moving is produced in dependence upon that era of existing in the abode.
Mm. Yeah, that's quite, you know, like day-to-day life because you are in the boat, but you know, as you are the one who's moving, then you think that someone else is moving. But you know, it's not very physically, but you know, that's
like the car wash.
No.
You've ever gone in the car wash?
Yeah.
You see it in the plane when you're getting ready to taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're moving, if you know how to
So it's good to remember that, you know, we are in the boat. It's good to remember that, you know.
The third?
Don't think that other people are moving, so need to recognize that you are the one who's moving, not everybody's moving. So not just physical boat, but day-to-day life, you know, day-to-day life that, yeah, so need to learn how to listen, you know, how to... Try to show some respect or like, you know, so consider other people's opinions. You know, it's not just sitting in the boat. Asking suggestions. When the person gives suggestions, you are not quite happy. But you know, and you go back to your ideas, you know. And, yeah, then everything's like moving things here and there, you know, cleaning, you know, buying things. You know. But you want to move this table here, but you ask, it's a good idea to move this here. Other people say, oh, probably it's not good, it doesn't look good here. So, well, maybe that's not true, I'm going to move. So you move here. But he said that was the now the third one. This is the third one.
The third is, for example, a quickly whirling firebrand. For a sense consciousness that sees a firebrand as a wheel is produced in dependence upon the air existing in the object.
So the piece of incense, when you burn, you go very fast. You see it's like kind of like round, but it, there's no round. It's just like, because it's so fast, you can't see the break. Even though there's a break, you can see it so fast, and you end up seeing round, but actually it's not round. It's so, the motion is so fast, that's like, because, There's a third or a sport?
That was the third.
That arrow is an old object. Then now the last one.
It's, for example, a mind disturbed by hatred. For a sense consciousness that sees the earth as red is produced in dependence on the air existing in the immediately preceding condition.
That's like really, really angry. Not just angry. Really, really angry. Like, no. That's like more sounds like hatred. Hatred, no. It's not just angry. Really, really angry. Not just angry. No, like, sometimes, you know, like, kind of annoying. Just like kind of like subtle anger, but it's not really obvious anger. Then after the anger, then the hatred, then they're just really angry, you know, like, he should have to such a mood on the maybe something to do it also with, you know, physical, as a circulation in our bodies, you know, something to do also do with the circulation in our body. That's why I end up seeing everything's kind of red, you know. Very, very angry, you know. No, yeah. He said, I tell us the Sashima and the Oshif, you know. Ta, Tome Longshe, Tome Musuntana, Mevasana Jeshiva and Tujikoso, Tome Longshe. So now the mutually inclusive Tome Longshe, you know.
Non-conceptual wrong consciousness, non-conceptual facsimile of a direct perceiver, and consciousness that has a clear appearance of a non-existent are synonymous.
Does that make sense? These are all the same, different name, but no, mutually inclusive, same. There's no meaning, when it comes down to meaning, no difference. When it comes down to word, there's different words, different levels, different terms. When it comes down to meaning, same, doesn't matter which way you say, these are all the same. Seeing Snow Mountain as a blue, same mistake. Mevasana, seeing something very clearly, actually it's not, it doesn't exist, not exist at all.
I'm still stuck on the mental consciousness that is a non-conceptual facsimile of a direct, so a wrong mental consciousness. That is non-conceptual.
The which one? Last one.
It's the first. No, it's the first division of the non-conceptual facsimiles of a direct perceiver that are mental consciousnesses that are sense consciousnesses. So the sense consciousnesses have those four bases, those four types of errors.
Mm.
But the mental consciousness that is wrong, it's a wrong consciousness that is a non-conceptual facsimile of a direct perceiver, that's still non-conceptual. So I'm having trouble understanding what is a wrong mental direct perceiver.
A wrong mental direct perceiver?
Yes. Wrong non-conceptual mental consciousness.
That's the illustration we just
didn't. No, it's the other. Yes, the thing that says it's explained above in the text. Exactly. My previous notes said this is from a much larger text, so you won't find it. So I was just.
Oh, yes, Isn't it, you're talking about that, something that's past?
Yes, it's something that's past that's not actually here.
It's in the text.
But it's not
in this text. My understanding is that this text is a portion of a bigger text. It's just a part of a text, and that...
According to the publisher text, that's the only text.
So there isn't a bigger text.
That's
not
bigger
text. My notes are wrong. Okay.
That's not bigger text. The publisher is the only text that wrote publisher. Publisher, that's the name of the authors.
Yes.
But here, this is the only, this is the book, there's no bigger book. This is the one we study. So somewhere above there, if you read very carefully, you will find.
Find, okay.
Yeah.
I'll look again.
Yeah, maybe have a, make good coffee. You know, maybe in the, during the morning, instead of reading a newspaper, have breakfast and my coffee. Just read one page very carefully. Just read one page, then stop. Then the afternoon tea, then read another page.
Okay.
Until,
I can do that.
If not, then I will, no. So then I will definitely find. I know, so I definitely will find. If not, then Kandola will find.
Then Chucky laughs. She's like...
So then, yeah, she's here.
No, she's
facing it for us. So Chukula is very good finding those things. Very good at finding those things. If not, then you know I will definitely. It's not that difficult, you know. But today I don't want to go to the past. I want to stick with the present. So let's go out. So now the definition of influential value cognizer.
It's a new incontrovertible determinative or conceived knower that is directly produced in dependence on a correct sign that is its basis.
So that probably needs to know, so probably need to, we might need to use the boat, the way you write, you know, so three circles, you know, like, so then, see, can you please tell me, like, can you read one more time, please?
A new, incontrovertible, determinative knower, which I think is sometimes translated as conceived knower, that is directly produced in dependence on a correct sign that is...
Correct sign. This correct sign needs to demonstrate on the kind of Buddhist vision of PowerPoint presentations. That's only the Buddhist vision of PowerPoint presentations.
The correct
sign. So you write down. Typically, it's not like my teacher who passed away, he taught us very well. So using all this diagram, like Buddhist vision of PowerPoint presentations. You know, he write surgically, he write on the board. We don't have board, but you know, he write on a piece of paper, and he shows the piece of paper, he just shows it. Then I learned, my friend learned how to write down, so I did that in the monastery. So it's very helpful, you know, it's like that he point, piece of wood that he pointed, we all shout, you know. Each time he point, we all say what is inside the circle, then we say, you know, then we all say it together. I will learn. There's like correct, what is called reason?
Correct sign.
Yeah, yes. Correct sign or correct reason that needs to be demonstrated through like Buddhist vision of PowerPoint presentations. So I did this, some of you probably remember, did that a long time ago. Say, inferential cognizer is the product of this correct sign. So say joy, you know, so, or maybe, I'm not sure, sound is permanent, impermanent, I'm not sure, you know, maybe. I do know the prayer is impermanent, I know, you know, it's going to change, it's like, its color is changing, so, let's say stupa, I do know stupa is impermanent because color is changing, not fading away, I'm not sure about sound. Maybe it's permanent, but I'm not sure, you know. So then Jin comes say, oh, sound is impermanent. Because it's disintegrate moment by moment. For example, stupa. For joy, it's quite easy to see the connection between impermanent and disintegrate moment by moment. Disintegrate those connections for joy is easy to see on stupa, because joy sees that, you know, it is. So therefore, Jill used stupa as an example. So look at example, stupa, change, and so on. Then, you know, like, it takes, you know, right away, it takes time, then joy thinks, oh. But there are, you know, like, some connection between impermanent and moment, like, disintegrate moment by moment. On the stupa, there's relationship. So then, now, what Jill is trying to do is, Jill is trying to convince joy that sound is impermanent. So, then somehow then joy slows up, joy thinks, then joy figures, oh, maybe sound does disintegrate, you know. It's, you know, sounds, you know, fast, kind of loud, then get kind of nice, it's not the same frequency, fast, loud, then, you know, you only get tired, those are the then joy eventually sees, oh, there's connection between disintegrate moment by moment and sound. I'm still not sure. Then somehow, then he will figure it out, rely on that, you know, correct sign or reason, and he will figure it out. Oh, now I know sound is impermanent.
Aha moment.
So then joy has now influential, valid cognizer, apprehending sounds impermanent. So there's a product of, you know, this correct sign or reason. Sign, that's a literally translation, actually it's better to say reason, correct reason. Sign, that's a literally translation of ta. Ta means, you know, usually when you translate word ta, that's become sign. Actually here, ta is more like reason. You know, correct reason. But, you know, same meaning. Okay, now that's good. So I did talk about the three objects. So now you hear the benefit of this knowing three objects ahead of time. Now here's some benefit here. Tell you know, now there's the divisions.
There are three inferential cognizers by the power of the fact, inferential cognizers through renown, and inferential...
No, can you say the first one, please, one more time?
It's by the power of the fact.
Okay, see, now here they use another word, power of fact. Same, obvious, manifest, now here they use some other word, power of
fact.
Yeah, so...
Then inferential cognizer through renowned, that it was known around.
Yeah.
And then inferential cognizers through belief.
Okay, now see, so the Joy, don't write it down, so I made a mistake. So here, Mudo Jeva, the power of fact.
The power of the fact, through renown, and then through belief.
Yeah, power of fact. That particular inferential cognizers corresponding with manifest object. Manifest object, or? Mudo Jeva, so anyway, so just wait, so maybe we look at the
An illustration of the first is an inferential cognizer that realizes that sound is impermanent through the sign of being a product.
So there's like there's sign here. Sign means, please keep in mind, sign means reason. No, sign means that's a literally translated word ta. No, literally sign word ta. Sign means reason. So now here, sound is, you know, impermanent because it's a product. No, it's product. Or you can say, oh, sound is impermanent because it's disintegrated moment by moment. Doesn't matter. It's both correct reason. So in this case, the reason is product. Sound is impermanent because it's a product. So then, relying on that reason, you will figure it out. Before you are not sure, sound is permanent, impermanent. I do know the stupa is impermanent because it's changed. You know, when I come here, it's brand new, now it's fading away. But I'm not sure of the sound, you know. So then you will figure out relying on the reason been here, it's been used like product, relying on that reason, then you will figure out sound is impermanent. That's what it means, the first one, okay? Second one. The second one, there's this agreement between America and Tibetan.
It's an inferential cognizer that realizes that it is suitable to express the rabbit possessor by the term moon from the sign of its existing upon among objects of thought. Or the man in the moon. Man possessor.
So we Tibetans say there's a rabbit in the moon. The Americans say, you say man in the room, man in the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You are probably 100 steps ahead of time. Head of Tibetan. We only see animals, you see people. You see men, Rivoje, that means moon, you know, we call...
rabbit Rivoje. Possessor?
Yeah, rabbit possessor, that refers to moon. It actually means Rivoje. So, I'm not sure, so like... Yeah, I still see rabbit there, so I don't, even though... People say, I don't see man, I see rabbit. That may be Tibetan karma.
Most Asian countries say rabbit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
I had to have it shown to me, and now I see the rabbit. But and it's just a face in the moon, it's not a man. So.
Yeah, no, we see that 2 years.
Yep.
But we have no karma to see man in the moon. Maybe Americans because they went to the moon.
Mm-hmm. The literal translation of rabbit in Japanese is moon gazer.
Oh, I'm going to... Okay, maybe either Tibetan are hallucinated or American are hallucinated. So now, stop here. You are going to stay a little longer or no? Have some tea, have some water. Allergy?
No. I don't know. Just
had a cough. Oh, yeah, thank you. So... Kandola is doing great, chanting master.
In the prayer book, we'll look at the first two verses.
Thank you very much. I think maybe John will be a very good chanting master. What do you think?
Yeah,
John has good voice.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. maybe need to request Samula to train John to become like chanting master. I think John is good, very, yeah, very good, yeah, very good voice, you know.
I tell people that I do karaoke, right?